is that not precisely the way in which too often we may have regarded Jesus Christ? He can get the blessings of God that will make life better for us, and so we're going to accept him. I would never speak about my wife in that way. You know, 34 years ago when we got married, I accepted her. I mean, you would find that an offensive way of speaking. It wouldn't enter my head. I love her.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. So you've never thrown that out of car and said, honey, I accepted you?
I have not. I never will, and I wouldn't dare.
You're a smart man.
You know, the language we use betrays the way in which we think. You know, it's common among us to talk about, I accepted Jesus Christ. What an extraordinary way to speak about a relationship of love with the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us.
And Colin, I think as we begin to see and understand that love that God has for us, it does cause us to and allow us to really grow in our love for him.
Yeah, that's where we need to be headed. I'm picking up in the message today a phrase that I found in A.W. Tozer. He talks about gold digger Christianity.
You got to explain that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know what a gold digger is, a person who's not really in love with another person just after their money. And there's a kind of gold digger Christianity, a person who doesn't really love Christ, just wants to get heaven and just wants to get whatever blessings Christ offers. Well, that's not New Testament Christianity. We want to go after what it means to love the Christ who has first loved us. And that's our focus today.
All right. Well, let's take a look at how we do just that as we continue the message, Enjoying the Love of Christ. Here's Pastor Colin.
A.W. Tozer sounded the alarm over what I'm calling gold digger Christianity in these words, quote, "The whole transaction of religious conversion has been made mechanical and spiritless. Christ may be, quote, received without creating any special love for him in the soul of the receiver. The man is, quote, saved, but he is not hungry or thirsty after God." Now, friends, Tozer wrote these words in 1948. That is 66 years ago. Which means that the vast majority of us, all of our lives, have grown up breathing the air of an emaciated form of Christianity that he describes here. Gold digger Christianity. In which you make a decision in order to get out of hell, get into heaven, accept Jesus, get God on your side. Your life will be better that way, but very little love for Jesus Christ. And you open the Bible and you find a different world. You find Peter writing to real Christians and saying this, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. You love him." So I'm saying to you, beware of gold digger Christianity, the gold digger mentality. Jesus, at the end of the Bible, actually gives us a profile of what I'm calling the gold digger mentality. It's actually there in the words that Christ speaks to the church at Ephesus in Revelation in chapter 2. You may recall what he says. There are three things, basically. Jesus says to these folks, "I know your works and your toil and your patient endurance." So here are people who are hard workers in the church. Here are people who are loyal folks who stick at it with steady tenacity, show up, good people. Then he says, "I know that you cannot bear those who are evil, but you have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you found them to be false." So here are people of moral integrity, can't stand evil. Here are people of doctrinal orthodoxy, discerning with regards to false claims, sticklers for being biblically orthodox. And Jesus commends all of these things, hard work, moral integrity, biblical orthodoxy. He commends them all, and then he says this, "But I've got one thing against you. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. You're doing the work. You're living the life. You're holding the line. But whatever happened to I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine, Christ is saying, I don't hear that from you. I don't hear it from you. And therefore, he says to this church in Ephesus, you've got to repent. Something's got to change because otherwise I'm going to take the candlestick away. Now, he's talking about a church. And what he's saying is how the life of a church is sustained or how the life of a church dies down. That's what the reference to the candlestick is all about. And what we learn from it is simply this, that the life of a church cannot be sustained by hard work, by moral integrity and doctrinal orthodoxy alone. The life of a church, and therefore the life of a Christian, is sustained through a vibrant love for Jesus Christ. Lose that and you lose everything. You're only left with a shell. And so beware the gold digger mentality. Beware of simply looking to Jesus Christ, to what he can give you and what he can make right and what you want in your life. Now, of course, the time when this really comes home, and these times may prove to be the sparkling moments of our Christian lives, are the moments when Jesus Christ allows us to walk in a place where we very obviously don't receive from the hand of God what we asked and what we wanted. And I want to say to you for your encouragement today, the very best place of all, the very best time of all for you to tell Christ that you really love him is when you find yourself in the middle of an experience of pain and of loss. And I say that for this reason. There is nothing very surprising about a Christian who loves God when everything in life is going well. But Christians who love the Lord, when good gifts are taken away or are withheld, they demonstrate to heaven, on earth, and in hell that they really do love God and not just his gifts. And you know, of course, that that is the main, in fact, the whole point of the book of Job, which begins with Satan slandering God. And here was his blasphemy. He comes to God and he says, now, the only reason that Job loves you, the only reason that he's living this righteous life, is that you have filled his life with blessings. You have showered him with wealth. You have surrounded him, God, with loved ones. Job is blessed. Blessed beyond measure. And he knows where his bread is buttered. And that's why he loves you. It's just because of what you give him. Now, you can understand Satan saying such a thing because hell knows nothing of love. And Satan could not believe that anyone could possibly love God for who he is. And so he slanders God by essentially accusing God of buying Job's affection. Well, you know the story. One gift after another was stripped away from Job. And this godly man then walked through a dark valley of pain. And he struggled with many, many unanswered questions. And the whole book depicts the depth of that struggle and the agonies of it. But in all of that struggle, he did not stop loving God. That's the point of the book. He did not stop loving God. Though he slay me, yet I shall trust him. I know that my Redeemer lives, and even if worms destroy this body in my flesh, I shall see God. What I'm saying to you is that when Job loved God in the middle of his pain and his suffering and his loss, his testimony glorified God in heaven, it silenced Satan in hell, and throughout thousands of years, it has brought strength to millions of Christians to persevere and to glorify God. So here's my conclusion. Of all the things that you and I may do in the service of God in the course of our lives, loving Christ still in the middle of unexplained suffering and loss may prove to be the greatest contribution you will ever make to glorifying Christ and to the advance of His kingdom in the world. It's that important. Loving Christ in the face of pain and of loss glorifies God in heaven. It causes consternation in hell, and it brings strength to believers who see that God is worthy for Himself and not simply on account of His gifts. So beware of the gold digger mentality. And when you walk through a place of difficulty and suffering and loss and you love Christ still, you shoot it to bits to the glory of God and to the silencing of Satan. It's marvelous. It's that important.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled Enjoying the Love of Christ. It's the final message in our series, Loving and Being Loved by Christ. Now stay tuned. We're going to pause right here, but we'll continue the teaching in just a moment.
Have you been bouncing from church to church? Maybe you've done this for years, never really settling down in one place. Hi, I'm Russ. I serve at The Orchard alongside Pastor Colin, and I want you to know that there's a place for you in the local church. Every week, I see people come through the doors who are looking for a place to belong. They're tired of being a face in the crowd. They're tired of the anonymity that comes from staying on the fringes of the church. They're learning to love the church with all its flaws, and they're discovering the heartfelt benefit of committing themselves to a local church and to other believers. I see people who are learning not to cut bait and run, even when they have a disagreement with another believer. They're benefiting from the stability that comes from sitting under the solid Bible teaching of one pastor over a long period of time. They're drinking in the love that comes from knowing and being known by others in the body of Christ. They're being encouraged and challenged in their walk with Christ. The church is God's provision for you. If you don't already have a church family that you call home, can I encourage you to begin looking for one today? Isn't it time you settle down in a church where you regularly hear the gospel of Jesus Christ taught from the Bible, and you begin to invest yourself in the lives of other godly believers?
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled Enjoying the Love of Christ. It's the final message in our series, Loving and Being Loved by Christ. And if you'd like to get a copy of this message or the series for yourself, come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. Back to the teaching. Here's Pastor Colin.
I have two other things to say in the few minutes that remain here. The main thing I've wanted to focus on is this word, beloved. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Beware of the gold digger mentality. But think about this. My beloved is mine. Isn't that great? To be able to say that of Jesus Christ. Christ is mine. And so as we take this into our hearts today, I just want to give you this encouragement that you should enjoy the strength of Christ's love. Christ is mine. My beloved is mine. Mine. That's one of the great blessings of being a Christian, that a Christian can say, Christ is mine. And there's a strength in that. There's a peace in that. There's a confidence in that. There's a security in that. Christ is mine. I'm in Him. And He is in me. And that's not in doubt. And notice how personal this is. Christ is mine. My beloved is mine. I found just the other week, passage in one of Jerry Bridges' books in which he shares his own personal testimony in relation to this personalizing of the love of God. And I found it very helpful. He says this, "There was a period in my early Christian life when my concept of God's love was little more than a logical deduction. God loves the world. I am part of the world. Therefore, God loves me." He says it was as if God's love were a big umbrella to protect us all from his judgment against sin, and I was under the umbrella, along with thousands of other people, there was nothing particularly personal about it. Then one day I realized, God loves me. Christ died for me. See, that's Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, isn't it? The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He actually loves me. Friend, put yourself in the picture here. He had you in mind when he came into the world. He had you in mind when he bore sins on the cross. He had you in mind when he ascended to the Father. He has you on his heart right now, conscious awareness of you at the right hand of the Father. When he comes back, it's to get you. He does not simply save a mass. He saves people with names and faces, and if you're a Christian believer, you are one of them. I just thought about it, that generally God loves the world and part of the world, biological deduction, he must love me. And then I came to the place of saying, no, God loves me. Oh, it's my biggest prayer for today, that that's going to dawn in a fresh way, and perhaps for the first time in some hearts, right here. God loves me. This is for me. Enjoying Christ's love. Christ is mine. My beloved's is mine. This Christ is always for you. He is always with you. He is always working for your good. Let this be your strength. Let this be your light. Let this be your hope as you're going into another week. My beloved is mine. And remember, the great thing about being able to say that Jesus Christ is yours is that Christ is yours not only for time, but forever. Because all other gifts that are given to you, everything else about which you may say mine in this life, is only given to you for a time. Other gifts have a beginning and a middle and an end. You may say mine of your home. You may say mine of your money. You may say mine of your work. You may say mine of your loved ones. But they are only yours for a time. But when you say of Jesus Christ, my beloved is mine, you can know for sure that he is yours forever. In an unbreakable bond of amazing love. The very last thing to say is simply this. In the light of all this, why would you not then give yourself to Jesus Christ without condition and without reservation? Why would you not then say, I am my beloved? What a marvelous statement that is of complete self-giving. I'm Christ's. Christ is mine. I'm Christ's. Without reservation, without condition. What could possibly hold you back from giving yourself to Jesus Christ without condition, without reservation today? Yielding yourself in a fresh and a full way to Jesus Christ in the light of this amazing love that he has for you. What could you possibly be afraid of? What would be so good in your life that you might hold back in order to hold on to that? Hold back from this love that Christ has in his heart for you and reaches out to you with. As I think and pray of some of you who are still in the place of battling away as to whether you're going to give yourself to Jesus Christ or not, you know, the greatest sadness I feel for you is that by still holding out, you are showing that you have not yet discovered his love. And the reason that you're not yet his is he's not yet yours. And the reason that he's not yet yours is that you are not yet his. And the reality right now is that he is standing on the door of your life, knocking. He's outside of your life, not inside, because you're still pushing him away. And he wants to be invited in. And when he becomes yours, you will become his. And you'll be able to say with all of the people of God, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And what a blessing that is.
to be able to go through life knowing who you are and to whom you belong. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. I was listening a couple of weeks ago to a message in a completely different part of the Bible by Sinclair Ferguson. And he said something that struck me in a fresh way. He was talking about his years as a Christian following Christ. And he said, one of the things for which I've been so thankful in my life as a Christian is that being a follower of Jesus Christ and belonging to Jesus Christ has simplified my life. And I thought, that's a very striking thing to say. And here was his explanation as to why he said that. He said, you see, we go through life with so many demands, so many pressures, so many things coming at us, work and what we've got to do there, and family and children and church and people asking things of us. And we find ourselves increasingly saying, how can I keep all the balls in the air and all these things that I've got to do and be and all the rest of it? And sometimes you come to the place of saying, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing? And here's where you begin. I am my beloved. That's who I am. I belong to Christ. That's the first and the single most important defining thing about me. And everything else is going to have to find its place underneath that. That's who I am. I'm my beloved. And my beloved is mine. Christ is mine. And with all the stuff that's coming at me this week and in the months and perhaps even the years that lie ahead that would perplex me, this is how I'm going to face the challenges on the road ahead of me. Christ is mine. Christ is with me. Christ is for me. And Christ will never let me go.
What a great reminder from Pastor Colin as we wrap up today's message. That if you know Christ as your Savior, if Christ is yours, He is with you, He is for you, He will not let you go, and because of that truth, you can enjoy His love. For those who do know Christ as their Savior, I hope that's an encouragement to you today. If you don't know Jesus, I hope that's an encouragement for you to maybe contact us here at Unlocking the Bible and talk with the pastor on staff about what it means to know Jesus personally, to have that relationship with Him, and to begin that even today. You can call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. Or you can reach us through the website. Just come to unlockingthebible.org and click on that contact link. Well, today's message, Enjoying the Love of Christ, is the final in our series, Loving and Being Loved by Christ. And if you want to get just a copy of today's message or the larger series, ask about that again when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED or visit the website unlockingthebible.org. Also at the website, you'll find links to interact with us on social media like Facebook and Twitter, links to our Pinterest page, to our YouTube channel. And if you happen to do that, go ahead and subscribe. We'll keep you up to date on new video that we're producing. Speaking of subscribing, you can also subscribe to our weekly e-devotional Life Keys. It goes out every Monday morning, and it's a great way to begin the week. You can also subscribe to our podcast, and that way you can listen to Pastor Colin's teaching on the go. Speaking of doing that, you can always download the Unlocking the Bible app. We've got links there for your Apple devices, your Android devices, or your Windows phones, or the Kindle. And those are great ways to listen just when it's convenient for you. You'll find those links at the website, unlockingthebible.org. And while I have just a moment, I want to remind you that Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We depend on your prayers and your generosity to be able to continue to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching. So if you'd like to stand with us financially, again, you can give your gift by calling 1-866-UNLOCKED or through our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program's a production of Unlocking the Bible Ministries. God used the prophet Jonah mightily, and he experienced amazing miracles. But he was not beyond the struggles that ordinary Christians experience. Find out why on the next Unlocking the Bible.